la 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 la.
Welcome back, everybody, to Ready, Set, Stream, Gilmore Girls Edition. Today, we are looking at Season 1, Episode 10, called Forgiveness and Stuff.
What's up with that title?
I don't know. I have a feeling that this one's
going to... Stuff.
Yeah, and stuff. But Forgiveness, kind of a heavy title there, but the and stuff part is what's got me super
I'm baffled.
Curious.
As always, you can rate, like, subscribe, share, comment, and where we lead. You can follow us at the links below.
Well, and definitely follow us on the podcast, for Pete's sake.
Yes.
Because if you're listening, you need to be a follower. So definitely do that. Help us out there. This was an interesting episode, I think, because it flew by.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to be as long to watch and analyze.
But it didn't jump all over the place.
I think it's because there were not so many places to go, people to see, blah, blah, blah. It was kind of just centered around a small, specific group of people.
The last half was one central location. So.
Exactly. So that kind of shortened it up a little bit. The way this one starts out is that we are in Miss Patty's studio, which I found ironic because if you'll recall... the scene of the crime of the last episode where Rory and Dean had fallen asleep reading.
The scandalous affair.
Yes, and were awakened the next morning with Patty and all the town gossips standing around them, you know, and then there was the big fight with Lorelai and Emily.
It's always on the hush hush.
You know, of course.
On the QT there.
Yeah, on the down low. And the QT. If you can name that movie, I will be very much surprised and pleased. So, Miss Patty's basically calling everyone to attention. It looks like they're trying to put together some sort of a nativity scene event. Lorelai is working on a costume that Kurt is modeling. Rory is trying to find the baby Jesus. She's telling Taylor that it has no arm. She cannot find the arm, and she's suggesting to him that they get a new one. And he's like, well, you know, this has been the baby Jesus in every Christmas pageant since 1965. Were you here in 1965? And you can just hear Taylor's voice in that because he's so he's kind of got the little sarcasm going, you know. But Rory, of course, says no, of course she wasn't there, and he tells her to find the arm. Meanwhile, Kirk is flinching, saying that Lorelai had stuck him with the needle while she was working on his costume. She, of course, maintains that she didn't, but when he keeps on, she just says, fine, you're done. I'm throwing up my hands. And then, of course, we swing back over, and Rory is telling Taylor that she has looked twice now, and he tells her to look again for the missing arm. And of course, Miss Patty comes up and says, Taylor, come quickly. Our before Mary is about to become an after Mary. Who else in town is knocked up?
Luckily not Rory, because all they did was sleep.
Right.
Let's not go there.
But that is so funny. So apparently they have a Mary, somebody who's playing Mary, who is currently pregnant, but is about to deliver. So they gotta fit the part. As the two of them walk off, Patty and Taylor, Lorelai and Rory just kind of look at each other and give themselves a kind of an awkward look. So apparently there is still some tension between them over the fight when Rory came home the next morning after falling asleep with Dean after the dance.
Just a smidge.
Yeah, so there's just a little bit of tension still remaining there.
Just a touch.
As they're leaving, Lorelai asks if Rory had found the arm, which she didn't. And just as they pass by, you know, where you can't see them in the shot anymore, you see this cute little shepherd-type dog walk into the shot, and it has the baby's arm in its mouth.
Yeah.
Lorelai mentions it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Wasn't there, like, a mention of the baby Jesus had a bow in her hair? It was a baby girl?
I don't remember that, but this dog, I have to say, looked so much like a dog that I had when I was growing up that we had named Baby Bear. It's like a shepherd mix. I'm swearing it is a dead ringer. But, Mark, what kind of episode is this to you?
Well, I've been biting my tongue.
I knew you were.
Wait, did I hear sleigh bells?
Oh, yeah.
It's a Christmas episode.
So this is a Christmas show.
Yeah, I feel like the little Grinch on How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Oh, Shannon. Oh, Christmas. It is Christmas.
Yeah. Well, what one thing you have to know about Mark is that
I'm giddy over here.
Any show, movie, anything that has anything related to Christmas in it, whether it's just a small little scene or a reference or anything,
yes.
Mark will declare it a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Or a Christmas TV show. Or a Christmas episode. Well, whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be a show, a movie, or episode related to Christmas at all.
Right?
If it has a Christmas song, a tree, a winter vibe. vibe or anything, any inkling of Christmas at all, and Mark will say, guess what, Shannon? This is a Christmas show or movie, you name it, whatever.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Video, whatever.
Yeah.
As long as it has Christmas in it at all, yes, it is a Christmas
movie. Yes, that's you.
Oh, yes. Oh, this scene reminds me of, speaking of Christmas, becoming one of the staples in our home is Four Christmases. I don't know
that movie, if
anyone's seen that movie. The nativity scene in it, where Brad and Kate, they go to Cootie Kate's mother's boyfriend's Pastor Phil's mega church, and they get roped into playing Mary and Joseph. Kate has stage training. She played Pippin, they say, but she keeps insisting it was just a tree that she played. Long story short, they dress up as Mary and Joseph, and she's getting stage fright. That's the whole joke, and Brad kind of takes over, and Joseph steals the show, and I tend to strut around the house. And
he loves this
act
scene.
Out Joseph.
Oh my gosh.
And I go, check it out, baby, they're digging my walk. And I do my little hair flip. Of course, he does it with a wig.
But his favorite line, you love to say it.
She gets flustered, and he has the swaddling cloth. Anyways, the pastor's over there like, put the baby in the crib. And he's like, enough. I, Joseph, shall swaddle this baby. And I, Joseph, will protect this child. Forgive her, son, for she knows not what she has done. And then he gets up, does a little dance, and Pastor Phil's over her. Hallelujah, that's the message of Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that.
He totally took over that whole scene.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, no, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the movie.
Well, I've been
able
to do that too. I deserve a good hair flip myself.
But yeah, you do take over the scene too. But yeah, that is one of our Christmas movies that we like to watch.
Yeah.
But he does love acting it out here at the house at any time throughout the year.
Yeah, especially the strut.
Right. So in the next scene, we have Rory standing in the town square gazebo, and Lane runs up to her. She just says, oh, I thought we were going to meet at Luke's. And Rory says, sorry, you know, forgot. And Lane, being perceptive, because we have started to learn that she really is.
Yeah.
She says, let me guess, you and Lorelai haven't made up yet. So that's kind of alluding to the tension that we felt in the prior scene. And Rory says, nope, things are still miracle worker at my house. God, how did everything get so screwed up? Mm-hmm. And Lane says, I think you staying out all night with Dean had something to do with it. And Rory just says,
possibly.
And my grandmother being there to witness it didn't help. And Lane's like, never does. And Rory says, it sucks. Things were good. School was good. Dean was good. Now my mother and I are barely speaking. Mom and grandma are barely speaking. Dean's new name is Narcolepsy Boy. So I can totally hear Lorelai calling him that. I mean, that's just such a Lorelai thing. And Lane asks, how's he taking it? And Rory admits that, you know, she hasn't spoken to him since it happened. And Lane points out, yeah, that was like 4 days ago. She asked Rory if he's called, you know, and Rory says she told him not to.
Don't you refer to me as Narcolepsy Boy sometimes?
Sometimes you fit that bill, yeah.
I can put some sleep on now.
Yeah, you can. At the worst possible moments, for sure.
For you.
But Rory says that she told Dean not to call. And Lane is like, and he listened? And Rory smiles, and she says no. And Lane's like, good boy. It looks kind of like Rory wants to change the subject here. Lane instead brings up that she went shopping. And Rory starts listing off a bunch of things that she bought for various people. And Lane accuses her of getting Dean a book when she says Dean's name. And she admits that, yes, she got him Kafka's Metamorphosis.
Yeah. No.
And Lane replies, oh, very romantic. And Rory's like, I think it is romantic. And Lane says, I know I've always dreamed that someday a guy would get me a really confusing Czechoslovakian novel. And Rory's like, I think he'll appreciate it. And Lane says, a book sends the wrong message. And Rory's like, what are you talking about? And Lane says, you have to look at what a gift says to the other person, not to you. Remember 2 years ago I got my mom that perfume? She gets an affirmative from Rory and she says, okay. To me that said, hey mom, you work hard. You deserve something fancy. Now, to my mother, it said, hey, mom, here's some smelly sex juice. The kind I used to lure boys with and resulted in me being sent to Bible camp all summer.
Yeah, that's Miss Kim right there.
Yeah. And Rory's like, yeah, but... And Lane says, okay, just imagine that you actually gave Dean something really romantic and he gave you a football. Your hypothetical romantic present is saying that you really, really like him, and his present is saying, hey, man, let's just be friends. And Roy says, and you're saying that this book is, and Lane says, is a Czechoslovakian football. Yes.
Indeed.
And Roy's like, well, then what should I get him, you know? And Lane is all about, what you should do is find out what he's getting you, gauge your gift accordingly. And she said, well, doesn't that kind of take the fun out of it? And Lane says, gift giving is a serious business. If you don't believe me, try spending a month at Korean Bible camp. So, I mean, honestly, once again, here I have to kind of give Lane some props on her excellent ability to give Rory advice. Thinking about the person that you're giving the gift to and not necessarily what you would like or what you would want them to have, but something that would speak to the receiver of the gift. And I just think Lane's so smart.
Yes.
I mean, she's just spot on.
Yeah, her advice definitely is spot on. I hate to keep harping on this, but I'm
going
to mention...
But you're going to anyway.
Yes, of course. I'm going to mention Four Christmases again because I thoroughly enjoy this movie. I highly recommend it, but I digress. Yeah, this reminds me of the scene where Brad goes to his dad's Howard's house for gift-giving time, and evidently there's like a $10 spending cap, which he doesn't know about, and he ends up giving one of the brothers, Dallas or Denver, I can't remember which one, but he gives them an Xbox. The dad's like, how did you find an Xbox for under $10? And then he's like, okay, I didn't know about the spending cap. It may if you come around once in a while, and then it descends into,
into there.
And he's like, here's one from your dad. I'm sure it's right up there. And he opens up, it's like a flashlight, and he's like, I thought you loved me, Dad. And then he runs Christmas for him. I'm not going to say how, in case there's kids listening.
But who has been known to go above the spending cap
yeah,
in this household?
Yeah. The dad finally stands up and he's like, let's move it on. I'm starting to lose my buzz. So get over here. But yeah, I mentioned all that to tie that in too. I do tend to go a little beyond the cap, I would
say. I do too at times.
And the reason there is a cap is because a couple years back, we went a little extravagant on our gift giving.
A little bit.
Yeah, but I'll preface this by saying for many years we didn't have it, so
we didn't have much to give.
It was a real blessing for us to be able to give, so we went overboard.
We were doing good some years to give everybody one thing, and some years we weren't even able to do more than a card.
I felt really bad about that.
Yeah, we did. We both
did. It was a dread instead of a pleasure.
So,
but when we were able to do that, we really got into the spirit, I guess. And
Well, it just felt like we were making up for all of those years that we didn't.
Yeah.
Have anything to give.
Totally.
So, I mean, it blessed us to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
It felt like a gift more. I mean, it felt really like a gift to us to give to them.
I enjoy giving more than receiving, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially when you weren't able to for so many years. But thanks for bearing with me. That's why I went into that story.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think you did the same thing that year, but I sat there with my gifts next to me the whole time unopened because...
Just watching everybody else.
I was just watching everybody else open their gifts and
excitement,
just being really
joy.
Happy
yeah.
getting to see them happy with their gifts
yeah.
and that we finally got to be the givers, you know?
Yep.
So it
Absolutely.
was kind of nice. We didn't pull a gift to the Magi or anything. But
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's the message of Christmas.
Yeah. But, okay, so now we cut over to the Independence Inn, and Michelle has got some guy who is decorating their Christmas tree for the inn, and he is trying to tell the guy to flip the elf and the fairy ornament, and the guy doesn't know which one is the fairy. Michelle's trying to explain it, and the guy keeps pointing to the wrong one. He points out the fairy has a wand, Michelle says, and the guy points to an ornament of Little Bo Peep holding a staff. And the guy's like, and you don't want to move her. And Michelle's like, I would prefer that you didn't. And the guy's like, oh, so we're still looking for a fairy. And Michelle's like, the search continues. You know, and you just look. I just always love his sarcasm. It's awesome. And the guy's like, no chance you're going to help me. And Michelle, like, none whatsoever.
Might as well have been looking for Spock on that one.
Right. But the phone rings, Lorelai picks up, and of course, it is Emily. She's sounding very sharp and crisp on this fine day, wanting to talk to Lorelai about the Christmas dinner that Friday. And when Lorelai repeats that, she accuses her of having forgotten Christmas dinner, and she accuses her of having forgotten it. And she says, well, Mom, there's been a lot going on around here lately. Your Christmas shindig's not exactly on my list of things to obsess about. Emily says, well, I'm sorry if the timing's bad, Lorelai, but the world doesn't always revolve around you. And Lorelai says, well, thanks for the tip. And I'm thinking, ooh, ouch.
Yep.
You know, there's definitely still a lot of tension on that end as well.
Leading.
Yes.
Yes.
So she tells her that, fine, you know, cocktails are at 6, dinner is at 8, and Lorelai just responds that she probably won't be able to be there for cocktails because she has to work.
Yeah.
And Emily wants to know why she can't leave early, and she says it's not in her job description. Emily says,
but
then
she like in charge there, so.
Well, she is, but kinda. You know, when you're in charge, though, I will say,
yeah,
sometimes you do have to go above and beyond and do a lot of other people's work as well.
But you could have somebody fill in, too.
But Emily's answer finally is, well, then don't come. And Lorelai's like, what? And she says, don't come. It's obviously an enormous burden for you. And Lorelai says, yeah, but... And Emily's like, just send Rory.
It's
and,
an all or nothing.
Yeah, like all or nothing.
Sometimes.
yeah, you're very much like that sometimes. And Lorelai says, you're telling me not to come to the Christmas party. Emily says, well, obviously, you're too busy. And Lorelai says, I had the German measles in fifth grade. I still had to show up to the Christmas party. And Emily says, Lorelai, let's be honest here. I'm not too happy with you right now, and I assume you're not too happy with me. But Lorelai, of course, she's still going on, saying, put my polka dot dress, match my face, and still I had to sit through 12 courses. And Emily says, I am tired of forcing you to do all those terrible things that infringe upon your life, and I do not have the energy to pretend that the way you treated me the other day was in any way acceptable. The way she treated her. Okay, I remember two people involved in that, but... Okay. And Lorelai says,
she's the victim.
So you're uninviting me to Christmas. And Emily's like, yes, I am. And they both do one of those fine response type scenarios. And Lorelai asks if there's anything else. And Emily's like, nope. And Lorelai says, okay, well, great, Mom. It's been swell talking to you. And I can't believe she would uninvite her daughter to Christmas because they had a disagreement.
I can't.
I mean, honestly, that's one thing that I have to thank my mom and other family members for. No matter what disagreement there may be going on at any given time, no one would uninvite someone to Christmas dinner. I mean, that's harsh.
I'd have to say bah humbug to that. Emily's acting like a Scrooge here. Don't you wish they had a Wonderful Life episode?
And it's a Wonderful Life episode?
Like a dream, you know, kind of like some shows do.
Oh, yeah.
It would definitely impact Emily, I think. But what other character do you think it would benefit?
I wonder if Lorelai would benefit from an It's a Wonderful Life episode. Because think about it. What would it have been like if she had stayed at the Gilmores instead of leaving pregnant at 16? I kind of have to wonder that.
There's so many interesting scenarios there could be and so many characters they could do it with. I mean,
yeah,
Luke, his backstory, his future. I mean, what if he asked Lorelai out earlier? Or what if he never did? There's all kinds there's all kinds of possibilities could play out. Rory, what if she never met Dean? What if she didn't go to Chilton? All those things could have played out.
Yeah, what if she hadn't gone to Chilton?
But I do think it would be interesting if Lorelai never left home, how her life could have played out that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree. I would definitely love to see what...
But definitely Emily. How, she needs it. She needs a little spanking here.
I would... I definitely agree with that. All right, so Michelle and the guy are still looking for the fairy ornament at this time. And the guy's like, this one? And Michelle's, nope. And the guy's like, this one? And Michelle's, nope. And it just keeps going on and on from there, and then we never see any resolution
Michelle.
That. Yeah. So then we fast forward, and we're at Lorelai and Rory's house, and Rory's saying that she wishes that her mom would change her mind, and she says that it's not her mind that needs to be changed.
Oh, no.
Rory just thinks that Emily really didn't mean it, and Lorelai's like, oh, she meant it. Rory's like, well, maybe she thinks she meant it at the time, but I bet she won't mean it later when I show up there without you. And Lorelai responds with, and without a map to follow that reasoning, I say, take a hat, it's cold outside. And Rory accuses her of wanting to hold a grudge at that point. I just have to say that I think Rory is being a little Pollyanna here.
Well, she is caught in the middle of all this.
She is, but she kind of put herself there by what happened with Dean and her coming home the next morning.
Yeah.
The way her adults are handling things make it difficult for her, yes, but still, she's a bit delusional if she doesn't think Emily didn't really mean that.
Yeah.
I mean, Lorelai's right. Come on.
Yeah, she kind of fell into that.
But,
I mean, fell asleep into that
situation. But, I mean, I do realize that she always wants to think the best of her grandmother.
Oh,
She has not reached a point yet where she is seeing Emily totally in clear, through
We've
a clear
We've only
lens.
Just begun. The best is yet to come.
Yeah. So, after she accuses Lorelai of just wanting to hold her grudge, Lorelai's response to that accusation is that it burns more calories.
Oh, yeah. You always give props to Kelly Bishop. You always said, well, she's in shape and her legs. And
Well, she's got that dancer back.
Oh, yeah.
But,
so,
yeah, she definitely...
Yeah.
There are some further episodes on down the line.
It wasn't a Thighmaster. It was dancing.
No.
Dance is good exercise.
There are some episodes, like, in season 5 and 6 where you get a really good gander of her legs. And I have to say, for a woman of her age, and she was a little older at that time.
Yeah.
She has some amazing freaking legs.
Even in a year and a life.
Uh-huh.
She's still in shape.
Yes. But anyway, you know, Rory says, you know, that's not true about the burning more calories. And Lorelai's like, yes, it is. How do you think your grandma got those legs of hers? She's not exactly a Stairmaster gal. And she says, never saw her on the running track. Don't remember the country club organizing a Tybo class. And Rory's like, fine, forget it. Should I put your name on Grandma's president? She says, yeah, sign it. The innkeeper, formerly known as her daughter. So I'm like, yeah. I will say, you know, I do think that Lorelai is right. Her mother did mean to disinvite her. But Lorelai can also be very stubborn here.
Oh, yeah. She's, you know? She's butthurt.
Oh, yeah. So Rory accuses her of acting a little immature. Lorelai says, I'm not acting. I thought that was kind of funny. That's
her inner teen coming out again. Rebellious angst.
And she reminds her about the apple tarts she waits all year for. And Lorelai says that she can live without them.
Yeah, right.
And Rory says, you've made up songs after eating five of them with lyrics that contradict that last statement. And Lorelai just starts to push her toward the door verbally at that point. You know, Rory asks again if she really isn't coming. Lorelai says, what? I'm sorry. Is somebody speaking? Couldn't be Rory. She's already halfway to Hartford. So Rory finally says, fine, I'm going, you know, and Lorelai tells her to drive safe, watch out for ice, and just as Rory is closing the door, she says, bring me an apple tart.
You know, I would have loved for Lorelai to say, you know what, I'm gonna go to that party, crash it, I'm gonna put a big red ribbon on myself, show up and say, here's your present, Mom, enjoy. I think that would have made a good show.
Well, it definitely probably would have made for a very entertaining and volatile
different
one.
Direction.
I kind of have to agree to disagree on that. Her being disinvited, she knows that there are going to be business associates there. If she showed up, it would have caused a big scene.
But that's exactly why I think it would have been great. Because she knows her mother would have really hated it.
But, you know, Lorelai is hurt by this.
Just a spider.
Lorelai's hurt by this, you know, and why should she have to be the one to go with tail between her legs when it was Emily that put them in this position?
Oh, I wouldn't say tail between her legs. I'd say be emboldened and just be like, yeah, boom, there it is.
Drop a
bomb on her. Party. Or she could have just took this viewpoint and said, like, Surviving Christmas.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that movie. That's becoming one of our favorites, too. You know, she could have said, the only way to get through these holidays is to buy your farm fresh, fat-free pre-spiked eggnog in a bottle. Or better yet, she could have joined Frank Costanza for a festivus for the rest of us.
Is that another Seinfeld reference?
Yeah, I had to sneak one in. Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Once an episode.
Once per episode, at least. But funny you should mention Surviving Christmas. That is, of course, starting to really become one of our favorite Christmas movies. But if you have not seen Surviving Christmas, and I highly, highly recommend it, it is, like I said, fast becoming one of our favorite Christmas movies. It's got some depth to it, but it's also extremely funny. But what struck me when you said that was how in that movie, his therapist tells him early in the movie that he needs to write down all of his grievances on a piece of paper, all of his regrets, and burn them and say, I forgive you.
In front of his family home.
Yes, in front of his childhood home where all of those grievances took place.
Yeah.
Because now he's all alone. Yeah. You know, he doesn't have any family, he has nobody. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it have been great if Emily and Lorelai could just do something like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you do know that a big part of Festivus is the airing of grievances.
Well, I know, Mark. I did not know that.
But
I should have picked that up on the fact that I've watched Seinfeld, too.
But in all seriousness, it would have been therapeutic. And
these
two definitely could have stood to do that.
Yeah, they could use a little bit of forgiveness here. In the next scene, we are at the Gilmore house. Emily meets Rory at the door. Rory gives her a gift, saying that it came from her and Lorelai. And Emily's response makes it a point of saying, aren't you thoughtful? And this, of course, it kind of forces Rory to say, well, you know, Mom actually picked it out. I don't think this is fair of Emily, because she's basically putting Rory in the middle, having to defend her mother. I don't think that's fair of Emily to do that. You know, I get that she's in a little whatever with Lorelai, and it did kind of begin with Rory, but she's not punishing Rory for it.
It's a little awkward for her in that situation.
But
she fell asleep into it, I'd say.
I know, but what I'm saying is Emily's not putting any grief on her at all.
Yeah.
You know, she's basically blaming Lorelai for the whole
thing. Extremely awkward, yeah.
But instead of answering that comment that Lorelai picked it out, actually, Emily rushes to introduce her around to everyone that's at the party.
Of course.
Asking if she remembers this man, that man, you know. And, of course, Rory says that she met him last year. Emily makes a huge production of Rory's arrival. They all, you know, greet her. Naturally, Richard is talking business with someone across the room, but he does stop to ask where Lorelai is. Yeah. So, obviously, he is not in the know on the disinvitation.
He never is.
Emily's response is that she couldn't come. And when Richard questions that, she says she had to work. And Rory gives her a look. To me, it was was a very telling look. Like, why is she saying that? That's not where mom's at. Because Lorelai never did say she couldn't come at all. She just said she wouldn't be there in time for cocktails. So, yeah, Rory knows that. So Richard and his colleague, you know, they continue to talk business. But then, you know, Emily tells them it's a celebration. There shouldn't be any more shop talk. And because Richard and his friend are still talking about calling some guy in London at midnight, you know. So she feels the need to reiterate that.
Yeah, Richard's so wrapped up in his work. That's getting him a little irritated that he's clueless to what's going on with Lorelai, Emily situation, and even Rory. I don't even think he knows about that.
No, but I don't think so either.
I would have to give it to Richard on this and agree with him. You know, work etiquette should be important and followed. People going behind your back.
Well, and I didn't mention exactly what they were talking about, but it was a work etiquette type situation that he and the guy were talking about.
Following the chain of command. Right. Taking credit for your work. Yeah, that'd get me hot.
Well.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Actually, Mark, I would have to agree with you wholeheartedly on that. That has happened to me so many times, I cannot really count them anymore.
Yeah, you like to drag somebody out of bed, too, at 1 in the morning, wouldn't you?
It's very frustrating, and the very fact that most of the time you have to handle it very politically, you can't go up to them and say, hey, why'd you take credit for what I did? You know, or, hey, why are you giving me such a hard time? Or, hey, why didn't you follow the chain of command here? Why did you jump over me? You know, whatever the case is. Yeah. You can't just confront it head on. You have to be political and use diplomacy, you know, and it's something and drilled into your head in business. But
exactly why I'm not fit for the corporate world, because I told you how I'd handle it
a few times. There are times when I wonder if I'm fit for the corporate world I work in, because it is extremely hard for me.
I think I'd go WWE style on them.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, because I said so.
I've wanted to before. Trust me, I've wanted to. So Rory asks Emily if she can speak to her alone at that point, because I think that she's kind of getting an inkling here that Emily's kind of making excuses about why Lorelai's not there. But Emily insists that they have a drink first, but Rory wants to apologize about what happened the other night. So I think that she's obviously referring to where she fell asleep with Dean at Miss Patty's and the subsequent argument that happened between Lorelai and Emily. And I think that maybe Rory feels that, and I could be putting words in her mouth here, but what I took from this is that Rory feels that it's her fault that her mom and her grandmother are fighting. If she had not made the mistake she made, nothing would have happened. Everything would still be good in her eyes.
Indirectly.
But she...
And she didn't help herself in that situation.
She didn't. But she admits to Emily it was totally her fault. But Emily just tells her, this is not the time or place to discuss this. Your mother should have taught you that. And Rory's like, please don't be mad at her. Here again, I say, she's trying to apologize for what she did that caused the fight. And Emily's like, I'm not mad at anyone. Now go back in and join the party. So Rory tries to put a butt in there, but Emily just asks her to take this drink to Gigi on the way back in. So she's not having any of this. She doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, she can't speak for Lorelai. All she can do is speak for herself in that scenario.
Now we go back to the Lorelai's house, and she's trying to find out where the pizza she ordered an hour ago is at. And she's on the phone with somebody named Joe, and she says, yes, Joe, I know it's Friday night, but I ordered my pizza an hour ago. Oh, no, I did not hear about the delivery van. Well, I'm very, very sorry to hear that. Now, was it a fairly new van? Great. Okay. Well, Joe, as with most tragedies in life, there comes a time when you just need to pick up and move on. So what's the next phase of the delivery saga? Uh-huh. Well, how long until your brother's back with the Razor scooter? Oh, all right. Just call me when it gets there. Bye, Joe. You know? So, I mean, she's really on it, you know?
Yeah, that's so you. Whenever you order pizza and the roads are icy or something's happening, you could care less. You don't have any sympathy for Joe. You just want your pizza. Get here. When's it getting here? And I'm like, oh, they're not going to deliver. Why are you going to call them?
Pizza and fast food restaurants for me. You go through the drive-in. If you don't check the bag, that's on you, Mark. But you
they
get
do
home,
screw up your order every time.
You get
I should
home
learn by
and
now.
Something is screwed up in the order, and you have to hop right back in the car and go back.
I should have learned my lesson about 10 times ago.
But I will say it has happened to me before, and I got all the way back to work, and this is back when I used to have to clock in and out for lunch, so this is on my time, and I would jump right back in the car, drive right back over there and say, hey, you left out my blah, 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 whatever it was. potatoes, and you cost me 20 minutes of my lunch hour, so what are you going to give me free? So she goes into the kitchen, she grabs a bag of salad, and I've actually never seen somebody do this before, but she pours dressing directly into the salad bag, shakes it up really good, gets a fork, and sits down to read a magazine and eat. And she's eating directly out of the salad bag. I've never seen anybody do that, have you?
No, but I will say she's a real woman of genius there. Yeah. Like those commercials.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have to do the dishes. And I'm all for that.
It's very inventive, actually. Very inventive.
You just gotta watch Dab in the Bag with the fork.
Right.
And you're golden.
So she sits there for a minute and she hears a knocking at Rory's window. She goes into Rory's room and sees Dean at the window. And she opens the window and Dean looks really sheepish, you know, at her when she asks how he is. And he says he's fine.
Yeah, then comes this creeping again. Yeah. Talking.
And she says, good, good. Shouldn't you have a squeegee with you or something? And
he has a reason, though.
Yeah, he admits he was looking for Rory. Yeah. Lorelai says, you know, she's not there right now. And she says, I'll tell her you tapped. I thought that was funny.
Tappy.
So she goes to close the window, but he tells her things got messed up, and she says yes. And he apologizes, and he says he's sorry, but she's not going for it at first. And he says nothing happened. And she says she has to go. And he says they just sat down to read, and they just fell asleep. And Lorelai says, we'll pick a more interesting book next time. And Dean says, so I am, like, public enemy number one with you? And she said, number one, I don't know. Would you settle for top five? Because I'm still a little hot over that crazy bomber guy who's been living in a cave for a year. He wants to know where he stands. And Lorelai says she doesn't know, and she just reiterates that her 16-year-old didn't come home one night, and he had something to do with it. And he reiterates, of course, that nothing happened, and that she has to believe him, and he would never let anything happen to Rory. And Lorelai says, you happened to her.
Uh-oh.
And Dean says, I won't hurt her. Lorelai just kind of tells him when she was 16 is when she had Rory. And Dean says he knows, and she's like, Rory wants to go to Harvard. And Dean says she will go to Harvard, and if she doesn't, it won't be because of me. And at that point, he kind of gives up. You know, he sighs and he stands and makes way to leave. And Lorelai says, I don't hate you. He says, no. And she says, no. Though I did imagine 20 different ways to remove your head from your body. And he says, yeah, well, which one looked the best? And she said, hedge clippers. And she says, still once. And he says, well, I mean, sure, you wouldn't want it to go quick. And she says, exactly. And he goes to leave, and Lorelai reminds him they have a really nice front door and he should use it sometime.
Yeah, Dean really didn't help his case much there, creeping outside her window. That's just one more thing she has to be unhappy about with him. He should have went to the front door, explained himself. I wanted to come with Rory, but she didn't let me.
I know, but I will say, I have to give him chops for the fact that once caught, he stayed and once again was able to talk to Lorelai and earnestly and say, I'm sorry, and I apologize that this happened.
Funny you say chop, because I think Lorelai has a thing for horror movies such as myself. I think she's been watching.
Oh, well, it gives you that idea.
Because I think she's been watching Black Christmas, or today she would have been watching Better Watch Out. That's a good movie too, by the way, if you like that sort of thing.
Never seen it.
Because she's talking about beheading Dean with the dull hedge clippers. Yeah, I think she's been getting some ideas somewhere.
that is a little morbid, yeah. Next scene that we see is Lorelai going into Luke's, and Luke asks if Rory's coming, and she says no, and he asks if she's on a date, and she says no, and Luke says good, that she forbid her from seeing the bag boy, but Lorelai says she doesn't want to talk about it right now, and he asks her just to tell him, did you forbid Rory from seeing the bag boy, and Lorelai says no. Luke's like, are you crazy? And Lorelai says, well, he looks like he's moving up to produce, so he's suddenly become quite a catch.
Well, he's moving on up.
Yeah. So Luke goes on to say how that kid is trouble, and Lorelai's just like, can I order, please? But Luke is on a tear, and he just says, first time I saw him, I knew he was trouble. You know, I mean, he just keeps going on.
Yeah, I'm with Daddy Luke here, because you're better to err on the side of caution when your daughter's involved. That's so me. You know, you're like, he's a good guy this time. I'm like, trouble. And today's boys are double trouble. I triple dog dare them to prove me wrong.
Ah, nice reference to A Christmas Story. I will say that sometimes you do jump to conclusions, though, without knowing all the facts. For instance, most recently, we had a misunderstanding with our own daughter, where Mark kind of acted on what he thought he knew at the time, but he didn't have the full story, so he kind of ended up...
I'm always skeptical. You gotta restrain me a few times.
But we had to kind of reel that situation back in.
Well, I will say a lot of times, I am correct.
You are right a lot of the time.
It's like Luke.
But
watch out, guys. I'm coming for you.
Yeah. But Lorelai says, excuse me, I'm the one who told you I thought he was trouble, and you told me you thought I was crazy. And Luke Terrell tells her, well, she is crazy, and he is trouble.
Yes.
But Lorelai seems to burst a little bit, and she says, he is not trouble. He's 6'2", he's beautiful, he's completely in love with my daughter.
Trouble.
And Luke says, trouble.
Yes.
And Lorelai says, big time.
Yeah. She knows it. You know it. Deep down, y'all know it.
She's been protesting, but...
Come on now.
She immediately admits, yeah, big time.
Yeah, everybody knows it.
So he says he'll bring her a burger, but she asks to see a menu and asks her... he asks her blankly, you need to see a menu? Because, you know, it's not like she doesn't come in there every day.
Yeah, that's what he says.
And she's like, yes. And he's like, you come here every day.
There it is.
And Lorelai says she knows, but she always orders the same thing. And tonight she thinks she wants something different. So Luke repeats... menu. And she says, piece of paper, list of food offered.
Yeah.
So he gives her a menu and she starts to look at it and just peruse it very carefully. And he says, it's not in Japanese. And she asks if he has a holiday special, you know, something festive. And Luke says, I just got some Grey Poupon.
Yeah.
That's French.
Yeah, he shipped that in. That's definitely a Gilmore condiment for sure. Because
for Emily and Richard.
Yeah,
sure.
Remember those old 80s commercials where the rich guy rolls up in the Rolls Royce next to the other one? He's like, rolls down his window. Pardon me, do you happen to have any Grey Poupon?
Yes, but of course I remember that.
The other rich guy says that. Yeah, yes. You know, out of YouTube, that commercial, it's funny.
It is a funny commercial. Yeah. Oh, and I gotta say, if you have not seen Wayne's World, they mentioned that commercial in Wayne's World. It is so funny.
My granddad used to laugh at that commercial.
That was a funny commercial.
And he would buy it and go, Grey Poupon.
Yeah, Mark, Grey Poupon.
And I still have some.
Actually, it is quite good.
Yeah, it's good. Spicy, yeah.
Quite good.
Quite.
Yes.
Yes.
As Rory would say.
Forgot about that.
It is quite good. Yeah, we've kind of forgotten about the Rory saying
quite thing.
Let's bring it back. Okay. So Lorelai ignores his remark about the Grey Poupon and that it's French. And she starts to tell him that tonight is her parents' big Christmas celebration. Great food, amazing apple tarts, big tree. The only holiday she actually enjoys going there for, and this year she's uninvited. And Luke just says that he can't believe people celebrate Christmas 2 weeks early. And she asks if he missed the part about her being uninvited. And he says to your parents, fake Christmas party?
Fake.
And he says, yeah, he heard it. And she asks if he cares. And he says, well, obviously she does.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, yes, I do, and I don't know why. And Luke says, you liked going. And she says, I did. And he says, Rory's there without you. And she says, she is.
Yeah.
And Luke says, you and Rory aren't getting along right now, and you feel bad at being separated during a time that you usually share together. And Lorelai just looks at him and says, wow. And Luke says, did I mention you come here every day? And Lorelai says, I'll have a burger.
Yeah, he's playing the therapist.
And he says, coming right up.
He always does that.
Well, and okay, so I've got to make a comment here about how impressed I am with how Luke is so tuned in here to her. Even Lorelai had to say wow at his assessment. He was so intuitive of everything she's thinking and feeling here and why.
Yeah.
And it just shows how much he pays attention to her, things that are important to her. And in the end, she ends up going with the burger that he offered her in the first place. So, I mean, it's just, he's really keyed in, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely vibing. When we're in sync, that's what we say to each other. We're vibing. When we're not, watch out.
Yeah, we do say that. You know, we'll often finish each other's sentences, or I'll say something and you'll go, oh my gosh, I just was thinking that. And vice versa, and we'll go, we're vibing.
Or at the same
time,
but then when we're not, you're like,
we're not vibing. No, we're not in sync.
What's wrong with us? Where are we in this relationship? I'm like, oh God, come on now.
Yeah, it's the lack of the vibe.
Stay on this page, boy.
I can always tell when the vibe is not working correctly.
Stay on the same page and everything will be fine.
So then we go back to Grandma's house, you know, at the Gilmores. The guests are complimenting Emily on the meal and how delicious it is. And she says, a compliment from my chef is a compliment from me. Thank you, Alan. And Richard is like, I, for one, would like to know where Henry is at this hour. So apparently it's the same guy that they were thinking about calling earlier.
On. Yeah.
It probably gallivanting around London like a bull out stud. And Emily says, Richard, please. And Richard says, well, how is he supposed to negotiate the contract tomorrow morning if he's out at all hours with some cheap tramp? And Alan says to him, now, knowing Henry, she wasn't cheap.
You know, but it's Christmas. He needs to calm down.
Yeah. And Emily says, this is wildly inappropriate dinner conversation, especially in front of a young lady.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah, because Rory's sitting right there.
Yeah.
And Richard's like, is it unbelievably hot in here? And he starts to loosen his tie. And Emily says, Richard, don't loosen your tie at the table. You know, so
he's getting torqued. Right?
Yeah, he's getting upset. So at that point, one of the guests asks Rory her Christmas plans. And she says that, you know, she'll probably spend it with her mom. And once again, Gigi brings up Lorelai and says what a shame it was that Lorelai couldn't come because she was always such a kick.
Yeah, like their entertainment.
Yeah. And Lorelai is very entertaining.
Well,
so,
to them, definitely, because they're stuffy, you know.
And Emily mentioned she wasn't feeling well, so she suggested that she stay home. And Richard complains again about it being hot in the room. He goes off to adjust the thermostat. So one of the guests asks what's wrong with Lorelai, and Emily says that she has a touch of the flu. And then she yells for Richard to forget the thermostat. Meanwhile, Rory is giving her a very strange look, because this is two different excuses that she's given for why Lorelai is not there.
She's picking it up.
Rory is definitely starting to understand what her mom had been saying back at the house, that this was no mistake, because she's seeing all the various excuses Emily's making to lie about why Lorelai isn't there.
Yep.
She's realizing this was no mistake. Lorelai was definitely uninvited, and she's seeing another side of her grandmother.
She's seeing how she is with her mother. Absolutely.
So it's not just mom telling Rory about this is how it is between me and your grandmother. She's getting to witness it. Yes, absolutely. So that guest, Gigi, tells Emily she thought that Emily had said she had to work. And so Emily, caught in her lie, has to double down on the lie. And she's just like Bo Kelly in Draft Day. Not only did he lie, but he had the nerve to stick up for the lie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I digress.
No Bo.
If you have not seen that movie, great movie. So Emily just says, well, originally she was supposed to work. Then she caught the flu, but one way or another, she can't make it. And at that point, she rushes off to get Richard because I think she just don't want to talk about it anymore. So if she removes herself, then she won't have to answer any more questions.
Well, it's funny that Emily's name starts with an E because she definitely has some Ebenezer vibes coming out here, and her side's in full effect. Perhaps she could have mentioned that Lorelai had a bit of underdone turnip or something. Maybe that's why she's under the weather.
Other condition.
Yeah, as Ebenezer would say. There's more grave to Emily than that grave, I assure you. Sorry, I went on a Christmas carol right there.
You sure did. Okay, so we cut back to Luke's at this point, and just in time to see him slide a Santa-faced hamburger in front of Lorelai.
Santa burger.
And she asks, what did you do? And he says, she wanted something festive. And Lorelai says, you made me a Santa burger. And he starts saying it, you know, it wasn't a big deal. Lorelai's like, he has a hat and everything. And Luke says something about it just being a piece of Wonder Bread, little ketchup poured over it, and piped cream cheese.
Okay, I'm a connoisseur myself, but he should have used mayo, because at least then you could have dipped your fries. I know some people like it with fries. You could have fries
dipping
with it.
Dipping your fries in mayo?
Yeah, that's...
Ew.
They do that a lot overseas, I think.
Oh, okay.
It would have went better with a hamburger than cream cheese.
Well, there is that.
Come on, it does
sound like a very disgusting
concoction.
Come on,
people. Who does that?
Yeah. Lorelai...
Maybe a pregnant craving or something.
Lorelai says to him... No one has ever made me something quite this disgusting before. Thank you.
There it is.
And he says, you're welcome. So she's really thanking him for the sentiment, not so much the edible quality
cream
of the
cheese.
Food.
No.
So her cell phone rings, and they had just been having a cute little moment. And when her cell phone rings, he immediately switches out of cute Luke into angry diner owner Luke.
Business.
And he immediately points to his no cell phone sign. And she's like, what? And he tells her, outside, you know. And she says, it's like the North Pole out there. And he tells her the sign isn't for decoration. And she says, nothing in there is for decoration.
Yeah, that reminds me of another movie we like, Deck the Halls.
Oh, yeah.
I take Luke as more of a Steve character than a Buddy Hall, because, you know, he definitely don't want his diner being seen from space.
No.
Decorations. It's bothering me. You're bothering the, you know, Steve would be like, I can't sleep. I don't want the lights.
Right. Well, so Luke says he claims that it disturbs other customers from cell phones. And Lorelai doesn't believe that. She says, oh, really? Maybe we should take a boat. So she turns around to all the customers in the diner and she says, who thinks we shouldn't use cell phones in here? And absolutely everybody raises their hand. And she says, well, screw democracy. And she goes to answer her cell phone, but it stops ringing at that point. And she says, perfect. Now I have to check my voicemail.
Wow, so they agree with Luke, actually.
They do agree
with
Luke. They
want the diner old-fashioned experience.
I guess so.
Yeah. More attention to the person you're with.
So I guess while Lorelai's checking her voicemail, at that point Taylor and some Christmas carolers come in singing.
Oh Lord.
And Luke starts asking what they're doing, and Taylor says that they were caroling and they wanted to trade a song for some hot chocolate.
That reminds me of Skipping Christmas when they're hiding from the carolers. Luke wishes he could have hid from them.
Not Skipping Christmas, it's Christmas with the Cranks.
Christmas with, well, the book was called that.
Oh,
Christmas
I get it.
With
okay.
the Cranks, yeah, that movie.
Yeah, they're hiding from carolers and everything.
Yeah.
But Luke says, so you want free hot chocolate? Taylor says, no, we'll sing for it, any tune you like. And Luke says, and then I give you free hot chocolate. And Taylor says, yes. Luke says, tell you what, you can have your hot chocolate, pay for it, then go next door and sing for the marshmallows. So, yeah, Luke is not all about the free hot chocolate. But then suddenly, Lorelai says, oh my God, and that gets Luke's attention. And Taylor tries to talk to him, but he tells Taylor to shut up. And he asks Lorelai what's wrong. So he is tuned into Lorelai now. She says her father's in the hospital. She says per the voicemail she just listened to, her father must have collapsed at dinner. Then she starts frantically asking for a cab, the number of a cab company. And you can tell she's getting very emotional. He's trying to calm her down, telling her to calm down. To me, she's starting to sound a little bit hysterical, saying she won't calm down. She starts listing off, 1-800 cab numbers, asking for someone to give her a cab number. Cab, you know.
Yeah, Richard really got too upset on that scenario, but that's why he shouldn't let things get to you like that.
He ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, Lorelai probably could have really used an Uber. Too bad they didn't have him back then.
Yeah, I know, right?
But then there's Luke for that.
That's one thing you did not Gilmore. You need to Gilmore that. When did Ubers begin?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't think it was a thing back then. 2001. Yeah.
But then again, like you said, that's what she has Luke
for. Yeah, that's what Luke is for. There's a Luke for that. Like an app?
Yes, there is a Luke for that. Because, of course, Luke immediately says that he will drive her.
Of course.
And she reminds him, well, there's food and there's people and a burger with a face. So, obviously, she is hysterical.
Yeah.
And at that, Luke She's tells everyone to get out. They're closed. He tells Taylor to have his hot chocolate and then lock up. And I thought, wow, because a second ago,
no hot chocolate
for free.
Well, Lorelai's involved.
Yes. So then, then he tells Lorelai, let's go, my truck's out back.
Yep.
And she just looks at him and she says, Luke, and he says, I know. Let's go.
Yeah, that's it. Because when it comes to her, there's no games, there's no nothing.
He drops everything. Yeah. He closes his store on a moment's notice for her. And when she tearfully looks at him and says, Luke, he knows exactly what she's feeling. He's going to take
care
of her.
They don't know. They love each other. I'm just going to say it.
I think they do, too, and they just don't know
it. That's it, because who acts like it? That goes beyond friendship.
Well, he definitely loves her. That's 100% clear for me.
Yeah.
And it has been for a while.
That's what goes back to my wonderful life thing. He just needed to make a decision on that.
Now, her feelings are not quite as clear yet. You definitely know
she likes
him.
She's interested. Yeah, she's interested.
There's definitely interest there, but I don't know if it's quite gone to love yet, or if she recognizes it. I definitely don't think she recognizes it if it is that far, but I don't know if she's quite made it to where he's at yet. All right, so the very next scene is that they are in the truck, and he's driving kind of slow. And Lorelai points out that they're being passed by senior citizens. And he says he's going as fast as he can.
On a hover round or whatever it
is. And Lorelai says, bye, Grandma. Bye. And Luke says, there's ice on the road. Those people are not being safe.
Thanks, Rascal. Yeah. No, but, I have to agree with Luke on this. Because around here, people definitely can't drive. And when there's ice, I tend to avoid it. Because people are crazy.
Well, they don't know how to drive on it.
Yeah.
We're not from one of those states where they have lots of prep.
Yeah, we went
and
into
machinery
that
and all that. Another episode. Yeah, so if a drop of snow comes down around here, people do not know how to handle it.
It's more ice, but
other than to go and raid the grocery stores for bread and milk. Yeah. If that's in the forecast, snow is in the forecast. Everybody wants
stores
bread.
Will be wiped out.
They want bread and milk.
Yeah.
Why? Why is that the combo?
They think they're going to be snowed in for months
at a
time.
You would think
it's not a blizzard.
You would think they would get dry goods and canned goods and whatnot, but they get bread and milk. I still don't understand it. Anyway, but Lorelai says, well, maybe they're not being safe, but at least they're getting somewhere. And then, of course, Lorelai goes to check that voicemail again. And Luke says, you checked it 5 times already. I've listened to it twice. It's not changing. And the voicemail from Rory says, Grandpa's in the hospital. Please come. And Lorelai says, no details, no info. Who taught her to leave a message like that? Luke points out she was probably in a hurry. But Lorelai's like, a person needs details. Like, why is he in the hospital? How bad? What are the circumstances? And Luke tells her, you know, they're going to know very soon. She'll know everything. And she voices her worry that he's dead, but Luke says he's not. And she's like, how do you know? And he says, I just know.
That's so you. I need details. I'm like, so a simple send help, come quick, wouldn't suffice.
No, I like the details.
Yeah, sometimes there's not time for that.
So Lorelai asks him, oh, so you're psychic now? You're suddenly getting visions while you're driving 20 miles per hour in the oldest truck known to man? She says, I'm sorry you're killing yourself to get me there, and I'm yelling at you. I don't mean it.
This is you.
And he just repeats that he knows.
Yeah, that's me.
And she says, I feel like this is one of those moments when I should be remembering all the great things I had with my dad, you know? The time he took me shopping for a Barbie or to the circus or fishing, and my mind is a complete blank. And Luke says, well, I'm sure it happened. And she says, no, it didn't. We never did any of that. He went to work, he came home, he read the paper, he went to bed. I snuck out the window. Simple. He was a very by-the-numbers guy, and I was never very good with numbers.
There's something to be said with that, but you have to have a balance.
Yeah.
Find some kind of balance.
Luke says he's sure he loves her. She just responds that he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
To which Luke says that, you know, I'm sure he's not. And she said he lived his life the way he thought he was supposed to. He followed the rules taught to him by his non-fishing, non-Barbie-buying dad. He worked hard. He bought a nice house. He provided for my mom. All he asked in return was for his daughter to wear white dresses and go to cotillion and want the same life that he had. What a disappointment it must have been for him to get me. Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That line gets
me. That cut to the core.
It gets me emotionally.
Yeah.
Just even right now.
Yeah.
And Luke says, I can't imagine anyone seeing you as a disappointment.
That was nice.
That got me in my feels, too.
Yeah.
And she says, I bet you'd buy a Barbie for your daughter. And Luke says, well, yeah, well, I'd probably give her the cash to buy it herself and meet her at the baseball
That's
cards.
Me. That's me.
And she says, She said, you'd make a great dad. And he says, you make a great mom. And she says, yeah, it's just the daughter part I don't have down yet. And he says, okay, hold on. That Camaro is dust.
Yeah.
And he starts driving faster.
I love you, Niall. Here's your money. Go take care of your girl stuff.
So, yeah.
I'm over here.
But there's 4 things that I want to say about this. One, what did you think about how she described Richard as a dad and how it made her feel?
Well, I think she perceived him as a cold and unfeeling man, but she did recognize that he did the best he could. And given the circumstances, she just wanted more of that side, I think. She wanted to feel more loved.
Yeah, I think that's it. She described a man who did what he needed to do to provide for his family and to get them, you know, where they needed to be. Like you said, there needs to be some balance.
Discipline. That's his lifestyle.
A work-home-life balance that he just never got.
But look at him. He's all about work, and that's what got him in the hospital.
Right.
So.
And that the lack of the home-life balance and his ability to turn off the work
He couldn't relax and enjoy his family, even at the party.
Right. And it made her feel unwanted.
Yeah. And Emily was trying to tell him, stop talking. That's not appropriate. Let's, you know, we're at a party here.
Yeah, I agree. So the second thing is Luke can't imagine her being a disappointment to anyone. How nice was that to say? And it just, it's that's how he sees her, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think that's the sweetest thing.
The friendship level.
There. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the third thing is that, you know, Lorelai making statements to prove that her dad was a good dad and even saying that he wouldn't. I think she's probably remembering all the things that he did for Rory as she was growing up. Luke, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that he would be a good dad.
Well, he's the dad, I told you.
She thinks that he is already because, you know, she's got all those memories flooding her head about things that he did for Rory. When he hears that she finds herself deficient as a daughter, suddenly Luke puts the pedal to the metal to make sure that she gets there.
Yeah, because what if she doesn't get to say something to him? You know, he's thinking about that. Like, I want to make this happen for her. What if he does die? She lost that opportunity.
I mean, he's being supportive. Yeah. He's being a friend. We both kind of feel
there's
more than
that.
Oh, yeah. So here we are in the hospital. Emily is arguing with the desk nurse over why she can't see Richard. The lady's telling her they're running tests, and Emily's asked to see the doctor. The nurse assures her that she will.
Did you notice who that nurse was?
I did.
Sue Sebastian.
Yes.
Coach Sue.
Jane Lynch, who played Sue Sylvester the Coach in Glee.
Which we liked.
We
really enjoy that show. We used to watch it all the time. She made that show, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a Journey song we haven't sung yet.
Can you go more than that? Yeah. Let's find one, dude. Yeah. Come on.
So, Emily says, some strange man is working on my husband. I have a right to meet this person. Again, the nurse says, you will. And Emily demands to see the room they're going to put him in. And the nurse says again, you will. Okay, now this would kind of get me irritated too. And Emily says, will you stop saying you will? Put a proper sentence together for God's sake. The nurse finally tells her to wait there. And at that point, Rory walks up and asks if she found out anything. And Emily's like, you know, they run the place like the CIA. And then finally, Dr. Joshua walks up, somebody she knows. Yeah. And she goes to him and tells him the place is infuriating. He assures her that, you know, he's going to check on Richard right now, ask if she's filled out the forms yet. And Emily's like, I don't care about the forms, I just want to see Richard. And Joshua, the doctor, asks Rory if she's being obstinate. Rory says, very. Yeah. I think it's funny, though, that Rory can get away with saying stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
If Lorelai did, uh-uh.
Yeah.
So he says to let him go and see what's going on, and they'll take it from there. Emily says, there he goes through those doors. And Rory says, maybe I should call Mom again. And Emily says, never mind, I'm sure she's very busy. And Rory's like, that's not true, I bet she... And she won't let her finish. Emily says, Rory, go get your grandfather a paper. Wall Street Journal or Barron's, what, you know, whatever they have, he'll want something to read when he gets back to his room. And I just kind of love that Emily, you know, I say love with sarcasm, that Emily automatically just says that Lorelai would be too busy with her dad in the hospital.
Well, yeah. She's having to keep up that facade to Rory about being indifferent about Lorelai.
I know. I don't understand why she is, but she is. So Rory offers to go and get coffee, but she declines. But when Rory does walk off, Emily grabs the phone, runs around the corner, and she calls Lorelai's home and gets the answering machine. So yeah, keeping up the facade with Rory, but she wanted to call Lorelai herself. So then she goes back to the desk where the nurse comes out and calls her Ms. Gilmore. Oh, Lord. And Emily goes off on that, and she says, it's not Ms. Gilmore, it's Mrs. Gilmore. Mrs. Gilmore, I'm not a Cosmo woman. So the nurse keeps trying to soothe her down, you know, telling her that she knows this is difficult, but if she could just fill out these forms. Emily does not want to hear that, and she says, what? You know, you'll do what? I'd like to hear in your most condescending tone what my punishment will be for not filling out those forms in a timely manner. Are there bamboo shoots involved? Some sort of dark, deep hole in the ground? Rats nibbling at my toes?
She's been watching some horror, too.
Right. Something, yeah. She definitely knows ways for torture.
Yeah.
And I do want to put out that the nurse's prior responses of repeated you wills didn't help matters here. She's very clipped and not very understanding. And I get the whole separating your emotions for the sake of the job, but this lady almost seemed kind of aggressively unhelpful.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't blame Emily for being a little irritable here.
You got to find a balance, like I said, with Richard.
Yes.
You don't want to trifle with Miss Gilmore right now.
No, definitely not. So then it cuts over and Luke and Lorelai have arrived, and he's saying they're supposed to follow the blue line around the corner and there should be some, you know, way to find them. But Lorelai cuts him off and saying, where's a scarecrow when you need one? Because they've come to a crossroad in the hallway. And Luke suggests that they ask someone, but Lorelai says, they just need to pick one. And he mentions they can't walk aimlessly. And she says, Luke, listen to me. Somewhere in this hospital are my mother and my father. Now, I know I don't get along with them, but there has to be some sort of intuition, some sort of blood bond that will somehow lead me to them. And he says, that's crazy. And then all of a sudden, they can hear Emily's voice.
And there it is.
Down the hallway, saying that her great uncle founded this hospital. And Lorelai's like, and that's Emily. So she walks up just in time to hear Emily saying, you insensitive paper peddler. His portrait is hanging in the lobby. Go look. It's right above the sign that says founder. So
she does have a point, though.
Yeah, she does. She goes to her mom, who acts a bit surprised to see her there. And Lorelai asks what's going on and how her dad is. And Emily just says, you came. And Lorelai says, well, of course I came. How's dad? And Emily just returns to her tirade and says, you know, that's what I've been trying to find out. But this woman keeps pestering me with idiotic questions like, what's the number of my insurance policy? And how long have we had it? And the nurse says, you know, I need to get this information. Emily says, you need to get sensitivity training. And Lorelai says, okay, well, what if I fill out this information and you go find someone who can tell us how my dad is? And the nurse dithers around even more. And Lorelai says, or I could go and you can stay here and continue to discuss this with my mother. And the nurse kind of looks over at Emily and she says, I'll go. And Emily just looks amazed. And she's like, you got rid of her. Lorelai's like, yes, so tell me what happened. And Emily's like, that's amazing. And Lorelai's, Mom, please. So she says she doesn't know. You know, he complained that he was hot. He went to turn down the thermostat. She breaks off at that point because she notices that Luke is standing there right behind Lorelai. And she asks if Lorelai had been on a date because she has an escort. And she says, no, it's Luke, Mom. And Luke says, which is her way of saying we weren't on a date. And Lorelai says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Emily says, well, how am I supposed to know you weren't on a date? It's Friday night. You show up here with a man. With Luke, Mom. And Emily says, well, it's not insane to assume that a date was involved. And Lorelai says, you're right. Okay, it's entirely possible that I was out on a date. Luke said, just not with me. Heard that last line and I was like, bingo. I think it means more than surface.
And boom, there goes the dynamite. But whose fault is that, Luke?
Yeah, he's never asked her.
Yeah, is he just trying to plant a seed in her mind there?
I don't know. I don't know if he would choose that timing to do it, but maybe. I don't know, but he's definitely made a couple of points in that conversation to make it a point of saying, not me, not me. It wasn't a date. Obviously, she means not me, you know. Anyway, so she explains that she was eating at Luke's when she got the message. He gave her a ride. She asks about the doctor, you know, and Emily explains, you know, he went in a little while ago. He's supposed to come back when he knew something, but he hasn't been back yet. Lorelai says, just go find him. And Emily assures her there's no way because people disappear behind the door and they don't come back. And Lorelai just says, come on, and she goes through the door. And Emily says, I didn't know you could do that. And she follows Lorelai. And Luke's like, I'll wait here, you know. But just at that point, Rory walks up. And Luke just kind of explains that he gave her mom a ride, but they were not on a date. And she questions whether or not they have news of her grandfather. And he says, give her mom a few minutes back there and she'll find out. Rory thanks him for bringing her mom. And he asks if she's okay. And she says she doesn't want him to die. And Luke says, well, you tell him that when you see him, okay? People like to hear that.
Yep.
I just thought that that whole scene between him and Rory was so sweet. He's just so sensitive with her. And she looks as though she feels so comfortable with him.
Yeah, well, he's like the surrogate dad. He's her father figure. Always has been.
I think so too. So Lorelai comes through the doors and Rory goes to her. She says it happened so fast and it was horrible. And Lorelai says, well, they're about to bring him out of the testing room any minute. She says Emily is kicking some patient out of the room with the good view. When Rory asks, really, Lorelai says, I hope they get him unhooked fast, otherwise he's going without the life support machine. So they just talk about how long until they bring him back, and Lorelai says very soon. And you know, Rory wants something to do. And Lorelai says, like rollerblade? She says, like get some coffee or make phone calls or do something that isn't just standing here waiting. And Lorelai thinks that the coffee run is a good idea. So Rory asks Luke if he wants tea, and he says peppermint. So again, there you see, Rory knows him well enough to know that he would prefer tea.
Good choice. Peppermint
is good tea. But, you know, this whole scene kind of reminded me of that movie Sense and Sensibility when Marianne is very, very sick and Colonel Brandon tells her older sister Eleanor, give me an occupation, Miss Dashwood, or I shall run mad. You know?
Yeah, I do remember that. But seriously, it does help in those situations for you to have something to do to get your mind off of things.
No, it really does. Otherwise, you do just kind of run what-if scenarios in your head.
Yeah, drive yourself nuts.
And yeah, you can. So Lorelai assures her he's going to be fine.
Busy work.
And Rory says, I was just getting to know him. And she says, I know. And Rory says, I don't want him to. Lorelai says, he's not. Go get your coffee. So when Rory leaves, Lorelai sits next to Luke and she gives out this big sigh. And Luke says, you were very brave for her. And she says, yeah, well, it's my turn. And then she says, God, this sucks. And he says, hey, come on. You know, you got to think positive here. Bright side. Good thoughts. Rainbows, unicorns, clowns, little cute, furry. Okay, I'm out. And she says, thank God.
Yeah.
So at that point, Emily comes through the door then and tells Lorelai she secured him a good room, but they'll need better pillows. So she's going to go and try to find him some down ones and some slippers, and she'll be right back. And Lorelai's like, we'll be here, you know. So when someone wheels a gurney past the two of them, Luke throws his head back, takes a deep breath, and obviously it's enough to make Lorelai ask him if he's okay, and he says he's not good with hospitals. He says the smell, the people being wheeled by with tubes sticking out of them, drainage fluids, gaping holes.
Yeah, oh, the horrors. Obviously, he doesn't do well with hospitals. His words and encouragement speak to that.
Clouds rain. Right, yeah.
What was he thinking there?
Yeah.
You don't do well with hospitals either, though.
No, I really don't. I had some kind of traumatizing experiences in hospitals when I was little. It just kind of seems like where people I love go in, they don't come out. So, I don't know. It's kind of a phobia. I tend to avoid them at all costs.
Yeah, I will say that it's a compliment and a testament to how much you love someone when you show up. It's kind of like Luke here. He hates hospitals, obviously, but he's there for Lorelai despite all his feelings. You know,
and because of it.
Yeah, because of his feelings.
No, I agree. So Well, Lorelai asks, why doesn't he go home? And he says, you want me to go? And I thought, oh, that's cute. And Lorelai says, you don't look so good. And he says, thanks. And she says, not what I'm in. You know, you always look good. He says, yeah. And she says, I mean, you always look healthy. And she says, but you don't look so healthy now. Now you look, and he's giving her looks. So she says, oh, what? So I said, you look good. We're not in fifth grade. You look good. Big deal. Stop staring at me. And I think she was right the first time. To her, he always does look good. And it kind of comes down to the, she's protesting a little bit too much to make the distinction about his health versus his looks. I do believe that she meant, you know, initially that he didn't look healthy. He looked sick at having seen certain things in the hospital. But I do believe that she is protesting the point of him looking good in general a little bit too much.
It seems to me that she's planting her own little seeds here. But he's calling her out on it a little bit.
Yeah, he is. He definitely, oh, you think I look good, you know?
Yeah.
So another patient passes by and Luke looks away and complains again. And she says, see, that's what you get for being cocky. At that point, they wheel Richard out, who looks half asleep. And Lorelai asks how he is. And the orderly says he's a bit groggy. And she asks how the tests were. And he tells her that the doctor will have to tell her that. And orderly isn't sure how long that'll be, but she can go in with her dad until the doctor gets there. And Luke tells her to go ahead and then he's good to wait. But suddenly she says, you know, that's okay. I'll go find Mom and Rory and tell them. She rounds the corner, going kind of quickly, and almost runs right into Emily. And Emily's like, Lorelai, you almost ran me over. And she's like, well, good thing we're in a hospital. She says, well, where are you going? And she said, to find you. They just brought Dad up. So Emily asks when, and Lorelai says, you know, just now. And she says, well, how is he? Did Lorelai talk to him? And Lorelai says, you know, she'd come to find her. So Emily says, come on. But again, Lorelai's hanging back. And she says, no, you go ahead. You know, I'm going to go find Rory. So Emily goes on in. And Luke says, you know, I could look for Rory. And she said, oh, no, that's okay, I'll do it. And he said, I thought so. And hey, look, it's Rory. And Rory just walks up right at that exact moment.
Just happens to be there.
Yeah, just happens to walk up. So it's not just me. Luke is also noticing that Lorelai is avoiding going in with her dad. Why is that?
I think her scared inner child is coming out. She's scared of losing her dad, especially since she doesn't feel she knows him and isn't as close as she wishes she could be to him.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. It's scary. She doesn't know how she's going to feel when she sees him. So Rory comes up to them and says that the coffee machine was jammed, so she brought chicken soup and Pez. And Lorelai tells her that her grandpa's back, and Rory immediately starts going and saying, come on, you know. But again, Lorelai is, you go ahead, I have a call to make. And Luke just asks her, so who are you going to go find now? And Lorelai's like, stop. And he says, how about Jimmy Hoffa? That'll keep you busy for a while. And she said, I said stop. And he says, you can't avoid going in that room forever. She said, I'm not avoiding anything. I'm going to find coffee. And he says, the machine's jammed. She says, well, there are other machines. And he says, admit you're afraid. And she says, I have no idea what you're talking about. He's like, the truth hurts. She says, no, you know what hurts? Having a screwdriver jammed in the side of your head. And she points behind Luke, where apparently there's somebody there with a screwdriver jammed in the side of their head. And Luke's like, what? And he turns around and he goes, oh my God.
Yeah, that definitely hurt him.
So,
he's not dealing with that.
Let's talk a little bit more about Lorelai avoiding here and the fact that Luke has her pegged and isn't letting her wiggle out of it.
You've been known to avoid similar situations, and I've had to encourage you through it.
Yeah.
You're really gung-ho on certain things that need to be done.
Except, nothing's stopping me on other stuff.
Except when it comes to these types of things.
Yes.
And situations. So I relate to Luke here. I had to really support you through those times.
Yeah, so he's not letting her wiggle out of it because...
No.
Same way that you don't let me wiggle out.
Well, the truth hurts and you have to get past it. Push
through
it. Yeah,
but I think that's what a good partner does, is that they tell you the truth even when
support
you don't want to face it. Yeah. So inside the hospital room, we have Rory reading a recent earnings report to Richard. And Emily comes in and she suggests that they rest the paper until later.
Back to business.
Yeah. And Rory says, okay, to her grandfather. She says, if I hug you, is it going to hurt? And he says, pain is part of life. Mm. And she hugs him. And Emily says, this little girl likes you. And he says, well, she has good taste. But I just wanted to say, Richard's statement, that was quite a statement to make at such a time. I mean, that statement really packed a punch. It was so small, but it packed a punch.
Well, it was the truest and most impactful statement of the episode.
I really do kind of think it was, too. I mean, it just kind of gets to the heart of it and of it all, the whole point kind of the theme of this episode, really. So Rory is coming out of the room at this point and finds Luke sitting in a chair against the wall right outside the door, and she asks where her mom is. Luke says she's looking for coffee, and Rory asks, you know, what he's doing, and he's just, he's staring at his toes, staring at his shoes.
The boy making eye contact.
She doesn't question him, which I think is funny. You know, she doesn't ask him, why are you staring at your shoes, and won't look up, you know. She just tells him to carry on.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
Back inside the room, Emily's talking about how she found Richard decent pillows, and she starts adjusting them behind his back, getting rid of the old ones, trying to put in the new ones, and Richard's telling her that they need to talk, and she just keeps trying to do what she's doing, but he tells her this is serious, and he's telling her about a key in his desk drawer, and she's asking him, lift your head, and he says it's to the safe, and she's like, one more time, and she just seems to be really avoiding talking about whatever it is he wants to talk about, and he tells her that all of their stock information is in the safe, all of the insurance, and Emily's talking about finding him some new sheets, but he mentions that his will is in his lower left drawer and that Dennis has a copy, and even with that, Emily just keeps avoiding the subject, and he finally says this is serious, and they have to be practical, and so finally he says if he dies, and this gets a reaction from her at last, and she says no. She said, Richard Gilmore, there may be many things happening in this hospital tonight, but your dying is not one of them. He says, but she says no, I did not sign on to your dying. It is not going to happen, not tonight, not for a very long time. In fact, I demand to go first. Do I make myself clear?
Yeah.
And he says, yes, Emily, you may go first.
Yeah, I loved how, you know, he's usually all business, and
this scene was sweet for him. Yeah,
and he takes her hand to comfort her, and he does let it go for a little bit.
I thought that was just a very sweet gesture. He's normally not a real touchy-feely kind of man.
Yeah, it's business.
All the time. But he's actually the one in a position who should be being comforted right now. But he's the one giving comfort to his wife.
That's the way he related comforting, is taking care of the business of, if I die, everything will be taken care of.
My family will be taken care of.
See, that's where he's missing the point, where Lorelai's saying he needs to have more balance and be more loving, compassionate,
yes,
and family oriented.
And to him,
that is what he's doing.
He's making sure that if he was to die, his widow would be properly cared for.
And
he wouldn't leave her in a bad position, you know, that she would be cared for.
And there's a lot of men like that.
There are, you know,
sensitive and loving and caring.
I once had somebody tell me, your job is there so that way you can live a quality life with your family. And the moment that the job starts to interfere with the family part is when it ceases to become a job and fulfill the purpose it was made for. It should be all about you being able to live well and enjoy time with your family. But if you let it bleed over too much, then you're taking away from the family.
To a point, I'm like that. My actions are speak louder than my emotions. I'm taking care of you, that says I love you. But no, people need to hear that.
And people do need to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I don't think that Richard really ever learned to do, was the touchy-feely side of things. In fact, now that I think about it, we're going to have to start really paying attention, because I want to know the answer to this. Do you ever hear him say the words, I love you, to anyone in this show?
That's a good question. And how does he change his behavior, too, after
this? Exactly.
I'll be watching
Does he change his behavior after this? Yes.
Besides the fitness and what he has to do.
Right. Okay, so Lorelai and Rory are by the coffee machine. Rory asks Lorelai if she had any luck, and Lorelai says that she thinks she's wearing the machine down. And Rorelai calls her pathetic in a very joking way. She calls her pathetic.
Yeah.
And Lorelai asks if the doctor's been back, but Rory says no, not yet. Lorelai starts telling him that she had a visit that night by narcolepsy boy. And she mentions that he pulled the old window tapping trick, you know. Rory asks, were you mean? You know, Lorelai says she's never mean. Rory said, you were mean.
That's you to me. Yeah. Were you mean? Were you nice?
I've done that with you. And Lorelai says, he told me nothing happened. And Rory said, nothing did. Lorelai says, I know. And she says, you do? Really? Lorelai says, Rory, there are only two things that I totally trust in this entire world. The fact that I will never be able to understand what Charo is saying, no matter how long she lives in this country.
Gucci.
Yeah.
Gucci.
And you. Rory being the second thing. And she says, well, hopefully not in that order. And Lorelai says, you just have to understand the major panic factor that went on there. And Rory's like, I do. I really do. And I'm so sorry. Nothing like that will ever happen again. I swear. And Lorelai says, don't swear. And she's like, why not? And Lorelai's, because you are your mother's daughter. Well, what does that mean? You know, and Lorelai says, it means things can happen, even when you don't really mean for them to happen. So Rory says she hated going to the party without her that night. And Lorelai says she hated her going without her. And then asks about the apple tarts, but then finds out that they didn't make them. And Lorelai says, well, that's weird. And Rory's like, I know. And Lorelai says, are you lying? And Rory says, through my teeth. And Lorelai says, good girl.
Now, all this talk about apple tarts, I'm getting hungry. I want some of these apple tarts. They sounded good. They've been talking about them all through the episode. I'm hungry.
It is at a certain time of day that I actually could go for some food right now.
I want some apple tarts.
So, outside Richard's room again, Emily comes out and sees Luke sitting there and says hello. And she has to sit if he doesn't mind. And, of course, he tells her to sit. And then he asks how Richard is. And she starts to say that he's something. But then she breaks off and she just doesn't know. She says, I don't know. And she sits and she kind of plays with his tie in her lap, and Luke sees it and says that it's a nice tie, and she mentions that it's a Brooks Brothers tie, and then she says it was bothering him tonight. She said, I told him not to loosen it. I wanted him to look nice for our guests, so he didn't. And then, well, the paramedic took it off of him on the way here. I just haven't been able to put it down yet. And she kind of gives a little sniffle, you know. She said, I must sound crazy. And Luke says, you know, I've kept my father's entire store just the way he left it. He says, well, I turned it into a diner, but I kept all of his stuff on the walls, his pictures in the office, even the hardware sign. And Emily says, I'm sure he would have appreciated having his life's work being honored like that. And Luke says, he would have called me a fool. I just wonder, do you think that Emily is blaming herself in this conversation? Is this her blaming herself when she's talking about how she didn't want him to loosen his tie?
And perhaps.
She hasn't been able to let go of it since they gave it to her.
But you know, when something like this happens to you, your family, it's a lot of people blame themselves.
Oh,
what
yeah.
if I did this? What
I know
did
I do.
Caused this? Could I have stopped this? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they did. I really think it was so nice of Luke to tell her the story about his dad right here. It was like he was trying to say that holding on to Richard's tie was a good thing, because obviously he held on to everything that belonged to his dad. And by telling her about how he kept his dad's store the same, it's like he's trying to relate to her.
They don't have a bond per se, but they found something to relate to in the situation. He also doesn't have the history that Lorelai has with them. So it's a civil way of comforting her and her accepting it.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't think they'll ever be best friends, but
no.
This is definitely a nice, unexpected, tender moment between the two of them.
I don't think they don't like each other at this point. It's just...
No, I don't think that either. But they pause talking for just a minute, and then finally Emily says, oh well, I don't know what Lorelai told you about her father. I can certainly imagine, but he's a very good man. He always did the right thing for his family. She's almost saying that, taking up for him before...
Yeah, she's guarding already.
Yeah, she...
Expecting the worst.
She's assuming, yeah. You know, that Lorelai would have said something horrible about her dad. And Luke says, no, that's what she told me, that he was a good man. And she looks surprised to hear about that, you know, that Lorelai would have said decent things about her dad. What did you think about this part of the scene?
She's taken aback, first of all. In her mind, she's figured that her daughter's probably told Luke horrible things.
Yeah.
And that Richard wasn't a great man, and both of them were horrible, and it surprised her to hear that she actually had nice things to say.
Right.
To Luke.
No, I think you're right. I totally kind of got that when I saw this scene. But she finally asks, so what is going on between the two of you? And he says, nothing, really. We're friends. That's it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Emily says, you're idiots, the both of you. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Just a moment about how intuitive Emily has always been about Luke and Lorelai. She senses what's under the surface here.
Yeah.
She sensed it at that party.
Rory's birthday?
Yes.
Yeah, when he walked in with the ice and she's like, oh, you got something going on with the ice, man.
Yeah, it's funny. How can she be so intuitive about the vibes between Luke and Lorelai, but completely unaware of who Lorelai is as a person and what's going on inside her otherwise?
She was ironing like the poorhouse steak.
That's true.
Maybe she's refusing to admit that her daughter, not what she's always wanted her to be, and wants to be something else, but she's free to perceive other things outside that realm.
So she still can't quite understand why she would choose to be and follow a different path, but she can still be objective about other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe she's too close to it.
So you have to remove yourself to that situation.
That's it.
You're too...
She's too close to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at that moment, Lorelai and Rory show up, and Emily asks, you know, where they've been, and Lorelai says they were on a coffee hunt, asks what's going on. Luke says, your mother called me an idiot. And Lorelai says, wow, you must have sucked up good. And Emily says she's going to wash her face, and she leaves and takes Rory with her. And, you know, the two of them are talking, and Lorelai's just kind of standing in front of Richard's door. And Luke says, so what you gonna do? And she gives a big sigh, and she says, okay, well, I'm just gonna... And he says, I'll be here. So what does that mean to you?
First, Emily takes Rory off to give them a little moment.
You think that's why she did that?
Yeah, strategically. Because she thinks highly enough of Luke at this point to trust him, to trust her with him.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Unfortunately, it doesn't always stay that no. way. But for the moment, that's how it is. What about the bit of dialogue between Luke and Lorelai?
Well, Luke didn't even say that. It was understood he was going to be there. He would always be there. He's always there for her.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. So Lorelai does finally go into the room with her dad. She's standing at the foot of the bed and she's just looking at him and she's got a kind of a tearful, sad, regretful face. And yeah. he opens his eyes and the two of them just kind of look at each other for a couple of seconds. And they're about to say something. And right at that very moment, in comes the doctor, Rory, and Emily. Honestly, I just would have killed to know what either one of them would have said in that moment. Lorelai looking tearful, Richard kind of looked the same. He had a look on his face. You know, what do you think they would have said?
I definitely agree. I was waiting there with bated breath to hear.
Oh, yes.
What are they going to say to each other? But I think there would have been a lot of, it's too soon. We need to build this relationship. I don't want you to die. You know, I don't want to leave you. You say a lot of things when you get real like that.
And this was definitely one of those situations where it's real.
Oh, yeah. Reality's in fact.
And things that you always wish you had said come out at times like these. Yeah. So I was so ticked off. Yeah. When
they needed a do not disturb sign on
yes.
the door for a minute.
And just the fact that they did not get to say anything. Yeah. Yeah. That bothered me.
And will they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So the doctor tells them Richard had a touch of angina and Emily pipes in that he's going to have to watch his diet. The doctor agrees, you know, the diet's going to be very important, as well as no more red meat, heavy desserts, regularly exercising.
Yeah.
And Emily makes sure to say that golf doesn't count.
Easier said than done, though.
And Rory asks if he can go home, but the doctor is going to keep him overnight.
Yeah.
And Lorelai takes that moment to sneak out.
Yeah.
And so moment gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Lost.
So she comes out just as Luke.
She could have stayed around and came back to that.
I know. So she comes out just as Luke is coming around the corner and he asks her if everything is okay. And she says yes, they're keeping him over, but he's going to be fine. And she starts to cry here. And Luke says, hey, you know, and then just hugs her. But I did notice that she leaned in first. But he was very quick to give her a hug. And he says, okay, see, here's where the guy is supposed to give the girl his handkerchief, but I don't have one. And plus, I find the practice a little revolting. So she says, no, I'm okay. And he says, are you sure? And I got this for you. And he hands her a coffee. And she's, where'd you get that? You know, and he says, the nurse's lounge. And then he says, what? You're not the only one who can flirt. And Lorelai laughs. And, you know, the door, you know, was open. He said, is there anything else I can do?
Yeah, that handkerchief scenario is revolting, but that's why you always say, just keep it.
Just keep it, you know, yeah.
that's the thing to do. Have a backup to your backup, you know?
These are my backup.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So she then asks if he'll take Rory home, and he agrees immediately, but asks, what about her? You know, and Lorelai says she wants to stick around for a while and make sure everything's all settled. And when Rory comes out of the room, she says he's going to be fine. And Lorelai jokingly says it was those financial papers that really did the trick. She tells her that Luke's going to take her home while she stays for a little bit longer. And, you know, Rory does offer to stay with her, but she tells her to go home, call Dean, be mushy, spend an hour going over who's going to hang up first. You know, I thought that was a cute little reference because it is what young people dating do, you know, at least when I was a teenager.
Teenagers? That's what we did. We were in our 20s.
That's, well, yeah, okay.
Talking about.
Yeah. Do we still do that at all?
We don't talk much on the phone.
No.
Anymore.
No, we don't. Because we're always together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rory says that's gross, but she will go with him. Rory says to say bye for her, tell Grandpa she'll come back tomorrow. And when they leave, Luke tells her to walk fast and look straight ahead. So he's still worried about running into seeing something that, you know, he doesn't want to see.
He's getting some gone on that one.
he's obviously still bothered by what he might encounter in the hospital.
Yeah, he's out.
So that leaves Lorelai outside of Richard's door. Emily comes out at that moment with the doctor and tells Lorelai that Richard is almost asleep. And she asks where Rory is, and Lorelai tells her that, you know, she sent her home with Luke. Emily asks, what about her? And Lorelai says that she's going to stick around in case anyone needs anything. And Emily kind of looks a little surprised and asks, really? And she says, I mean, not you. You obviously don't need anything, but somebody somewhere in this hospital might at some point need something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to be the person who gets it for them. Emily says, would you like to go down to the cafeteria for something to eat. And she says, yes, maybe somebody in the cafeteria will need something. And Emily says, oh dear.
Not you.
And Lorelai says, and won't they feel lucky when they see me? Hey, I needed something and there you were. It's going to be a great moment. So obviously there's kind of a little bit of a truce happening here. You do tend to kind of come together and let bygones be bygones for the moment whenever something this serious happens. But I also think Lorelai's comment about someone needing something was really a message to Emily that she would be there for her without saying it.
Without coming out and saying it, because neither of them behave that way.
Oh, of course
not. That's not the way they are.
No.
So we're heading into the diner scene, but right before that, you see the town and they're passing through.
Yeah.
Caroline,
yeah, yeah.
Dressed up. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
And I think Yellow Dog would agree with me here that this is a Christmas movie as well.
a
Funny
Christmas
Farm.
Show.
Yeah, a Funny Farm.
Oh, yeah.
The movie. When Andy and Liz Farmer, they paid the town to portray the Norman Rockwell paintings to help sell their home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is, well, call me Mr. Lamfries, because I would love to live in a place like Stars Hollow that did something like this.
I would too.
Reenactment type things.
Oh, yeah. All the festivals
fun,
that
yeah.
they have, all the neat little holiday things that they do. Yeah, I would actually really love that environment.
It was like a Charles Dickens Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. And, oh, and throughout the seasons, you see so many more things that they do.
I think that's why she moved there. It's fun, you know.
Yeah, it is a nice place. All right, so as you mentioned, we are in Luke's diner for the next scene. Lorelai comes in and she says hello, and Luke asks how her dad is, and she says better, though he says that life is not life unless it includes a steak. How come you're not out with everybody? And Luke said, I had some things to do. And Lorelai says, right, anyways, this is for you. And she hands him a gift bag, and he asks, what is it for? And she tells him it's just a thank you, Christmas, whatever. And he's very precise about this whole Christmas thing, you know, as we knew from the earlier diner scene, and he reminds her again that it isn't for 2 weeks, you know? And she's like, do we really have to go over this again? So he kind of capitulates and he goes ahead and he opens the gift. And it's a blue baseball cap.
There it
is.
Because
he's always worn a tan colored baseball cap.
Yeah, that's and the infamous.
This is the
notorious.
Blue. You do not see him without
iconic.
It. Iconic blue baseball cap. And as you continue to watch the show throughout the seasons, you will see that
it's
that thing
important.
Is
instrumental in the
yes,
whole
it
dynamic.
Is very, very instrumental. So Lorelai says, I just thought, God forbid something happens to that one. You might need a spare here. And she puts it on his head in a forwards fashion. And as you know, of course, Luke does not wear his caps forward with the bills facing forward.
No.
And she says, does that look wrong? And she takes it again and she puts it on backward. And she says, there. Oh, hey, turn the lights. And she runs to the window.
You know what that is?
What?
His backups.
Yeah, it's his backups. So,
one more time.
She runs to the window telling him to turn off the lights, and he's like, for what? It's not the real procession, it's just the rehearsal. So, a rehearsal for whatever they're going to do for the festival.
Reenactment, yeah.
And she says, so it's pretty. And Luke's like, and why do they need to rehearse it? It's the same thing every year. And she says,
tradition.
Come on, Luke, please. So he turns out the light, and he joins her at the window.
Well, she's into it like I would be.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So Lorelai says, they're standing at the window. Their conversation's kind of quiet. And she says, hard to imagine living somewhere else, isn't it? And he says, thanks for the hat. And she says, you're welcome. Looks good on you. And he says, good how? And she says, just watch the procession. So I'm thinking, was he angling for more of a you look good compliment like he got from her while in the hospital?
Oh, yeah, he's fishing. But she wasn't biting this stuff.
No, she didn't bite.
And the Christmas light comes on. I love that.
Yeah.
The tree.
So that was the end of the episode. I thought this was a really wonderful episode. We did not do a spotlight this week because we just kind of felt like this episode deserved a lot of attention.
Yes, it did. We want to talk about Scott's podcast.
Yes, yes.
He didn't interview anyone as well.
Oh, really?
So
I wonder if he felt the same way.
I guess his was strictly business as well. It was titled, I Know, Let's Go.
Okay.
Yeah, Scott didn't like that they spent too much time in the hospital, so he's just like Luke again.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
really?
He didn't like the hospital either in that sense. He persisted that he was just being a good friend, and his co-hosts were giving him a little bit hostile, if you would, because they were like, come on, admit their feelings there. You love him, or, you know, there's more than just friends there.
Yeah.
And he was vehemently denying, you know, I was just being a friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he was playing that up. He was impressed with Jane Lynch's performance as the nurse, though. He was impressed how she handled herself. He could see great things for her coming. They asked how Luke felt about the hat that Lorelai gave him, and he said he probably went home and slept with it. Well, slept with wearing it, you know, with it on.
And why would he do that if there was not some form of affection there?
He did feel that women were better actors, that they have it more easily. It just comes to their own naturally.
Maybe because they're able to tap into their emotions better.
Yeah,
than men.
Specifically Kelly and Lauren's performance in this episode. He was really in awe about the emotions they went through.
Oh, yeah.
He said the wacky town is kind of the grounding backdrop to the deep, impactful issues being dealt with.
Yeah.
Luke weighed the risk and reward in pursuing a relationship with Lorelai. How would that impact Rory if it went south? You know,
what was his feeling?
He thought Luke would be okay just being Luke. They were pressing, how much happier would you be though?
So just like his counterpart in the show, Luke Danes, he too is in denial about his feelings for Lorelai.
Isn't that interesting that they're much alike?
Yes.
I kept saying that. The more we get to know
Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like discovering, you know, it's just tipping the iceberg there. So Scott said that Jared Padalecki wanted fitness advice from him because he wanted to bulk up. And he was like, just, you're going to mess yourself up. He's like, you need to just grow up, you know?
Yeah.
Eat, you know, that kind of thing. But he went into that whole issue. But he just happened to have a guitar sitting there. And he graced us with a rendition of Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
A little rocking version there. Get us in the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah.
But there wasn't that many pop culture references.
Very few in this episode.
But they covered it from Hoffa to Charo to Oz, Gucci Gucci. You know what
I mean?
I missed that at the Scarecrow, Yellow Brick Road, and all that, yeah.
There was a CAFTA reference.
Yeah, there's few and far between, though.
Yeah.
Scott gave Amy, one of his co-hosts, some acting lessons. They acted out that whole I know scene, you know?
Yeah,
Scott suggested that, I don't know if this is true, though. I don't know if he was kidding or being serious, but he said the blue cap, he actually brought that up to the Paladinos at a dinner. He called it the secret hat dinner. He said it would match his eyes, the color would bring out his eyes.
That's very true.
So that's up to debate if that was true or not. They really didn't get that out of him. And that was pretty much the episode.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting that he didn't interview anyone either. Not that we interview anybody yet. But,
no, but we profile.
We profile, but he didn't profile or interview anyone. Obviously, this episode stood alone.
Oh, yeah.
It was in a class all on its own. It didn't need any embellishment.
Very impactful.
Let's get to our lore line. What was your lore line?
I'll have to say when Rory was asking Richard if she could hug him if it would hurt, and he just said, pain is a part of life.
Yeah.
That got me.
That was a big one. Yeah. For me, and mine is long, sorry. But it's when Lorelai is in the truck and Luke is driving her to the hospital and she says about Richard, he lived his life the way he thought he was supposed to. He followed the rules taught to him by his non-fishing, non-Barbie buying dad. He worked hard. He bought a nice house. He provided for my mom. All he asked in return was for his daughter to wear white dresses and go to Cotillion and want the same life that he had. What a disappointment it must have been for him to get me. Wow. And that really got me. It made me tear up, actually. I feel like this really goes to the heart of how Lorelai feels about her dad. She respects him, admires him even, knows that he cared for and loved them the best that he knew how, but she feels like a failure as a daughter. And it just kind of colors every interaction that she has with him.
Yeah.
So
we're going to have to retitle that the lore script because you're going to have to go...
I know, right?
You're going to go work for him because you went off on that.
I know. All right, so what was your Rory?
I will say it's when Richard was comforting Emily, how he took her hand lovingly and just, you know, you can go first. It just showed
that was a tender moment. Yeah. Very, very sweet. Me. Yeah, that got me too. I had a very hard time picking my Rory this time. I always do. So I have to give a shout out to the scene in the car between Luke and Lorelai where she's talking about her father, opening up to Luke about her dad, how she felt like a disappointment and he had this quiet understanding and support. But I also have to give a shout out to how he interacted with Emily when the two of them were alone, also outside of Richard's hospital room.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. Richard comforting Emily, another shout out to that one. Then Luke comforting Lorelai with the hug, and all the things that he said to her were very sweet. But my absolute favorite Rory is the scene where Lorelai is standing at the end of Richard's bed. There is so much being said just from their facial expressions, and I wish to my core that they had been able to speak it.
Yes.
That right there. All right, so what was your Emily?
Well, you know it's a good episode when it's hard to find one.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have to just go with the obvious Emily uninviting Lorelai to the Christmas party.
Same.
That was bad form, Captain Hook.
You know? I chose the same one. That was rough.
A little bit of the Scrooge coming out of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so how did you rate this one?
Well, it is Christmas, and I'm feeling in the spirit.
Well, it's actually not Christmas. Well, it's in the middle of August. But
well, it was July.
But for them.
Yeah, when they did it, it was July. But and I'm in a giving mood, so I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 hollow stars this time.
Okay.
First one. Boom. Yep,
first 5 out of 5.
I really liked and enjoyed this episode. The dynamics of the characters, Luke, Lorelai, Emily, Lorelai, Luke, Emily, Lorelai, Richard. That scene in particular was powerful yet unspoken. I know you said you wish they were able to talk, but that just was, yes. All around.
Yeah. Well, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, since we think alike, I also gave this a 5 out of 5 hollow stars.
First time.
First one. Boom.
For you too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I just felt there was so much depth to this episode, and it was so nuanced, and there was so much going on emotionally. It was just impactful every way you turned around. There was the Lorelai Emily on the outs, Lorelai feeling slighted, Rory trying to make her feel better, Emily's panic, Luke caring for Lorelai, Lorelai getting things done for her mother, the emotional almost moment between Richard and Lorelai that went unspoken, Richard comforting Emily, Luke comforting Lorelai. This show just had me in my feels the whole time.
Emotional roller coaster?
It was an emotional roller
Pleasant
coaster.
Surprise. Was it yes. Serendipitous?
Yes, it was very, very lovely. I can't point to a single scene that bored me or I felt like, eh. Oh, and I have to give a shout out to Lane for her wonderful advice once again. To Rory. I mean, it was just really a great episode all the way around. It was very intimate because it was only certain characters.
Yes.
It wasn't everybody. It was a small cast in this particular
kinda
episode.
Kind of like the previous episode.
Yeah. But yeah, this was really great. I love this one.
And so. I know they had an issue with the hospital, but I didn't mind it being that long in the hospital.
No, I didn't either.
The last half of the show.
Actually, the episode seemed to go very fast.
Yes.
Even though there were only about 3 different places that things took place.
Well, it got really serious and deep on that last half of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what kind of drove it home, though.
But all in all, just a fantastic episode. I would definitely watch that one again and again. Oh, and of course, the budding little romantic feelings between Luke and Lorelai that they're each too silly to acknowledge.
And when you get down to it, it is a wonderful life, kids. So just remember that.
It is.
This time of the year, this season, in July, August.
Yeah, with Christmas in July.
As you enjoy your Santa burger on a hot summer's night. A cold winter's night, but yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy. And Merry Christmas.
Well, actually, I think it was right before Christmas for them.
Yeah.
Because remember, Luke kept saying just 2 weeks before Christmas.
But we're making lemonade out of lemons here, people.
Yeah. Well, we just finished Christmas in July, and that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we're recording this on a little bit,
we're
about
a little
a week
late to
later.
The party, but we drug it.
Oh,
home.
And forgive us for last week not having an episode. Time got away from us last week.
Life happens.
Yeah, life happens, so we just had to kind of double
We're
time
back
it.
At the grindstone,
yep,
and we're
going
to try to
it.
Knock some out for you.
Yep. All right, so thank you guys for joining us, and get ready to Ready, Set, Stream Season 1, Episode 11, and we will talk to you next time.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.